Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting. I want to welcome you to this session, From Laughter to Tears. I think there's going to be a lot of laughter and tears in the first two presentations, both comedy and tragedy, and then the third presentation is going to be mostly laughter. Our first speaker is Dr. Robert O'Brien. About a quarter of a century ago, he became a member of ARSC and started with recordings of Shakespeare, the plays, not pieces of music. Dealing with delays, he went into law, which led him into finding a religious group that came up with the portable vertical phonograph. In 2004, he had a stroke that forced him to relearn everything, and he returned to Shakespeare recordings. While working on his Shakespeare discography, he noted John Gielgud's recordings, and that is why he is here. His paper is titled John Gielgud, Recordings Ignored. Let's welcome Dr. O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Not much room to read from.
This is the only button you need to push to get to the next picture.
For the next.
If you've gone too far, you can push the back arrow.
Alrighty.
Okay,
I just to chat with you briefly. We're familiar with Shakespeare, particularly his plays, and his plays are in verse. Now, for millennial, for Homer on, going back to Homer, everything was totally in verse. And at one point, we got to Shakespeare, and that was in verse. But that gets to the rhythm of it. But basically, at that point, there was no need with Shakespeare players. They memorized their roles and with the rhythm where they maybe did three plays a week. However, the publisher then came along and copied down his plays, but all the sound was lost, the precise sound was lost at that point. We go for centuries. We catch the rhythm, but then the precise part of it was lost permanently until Edison came along, and then we came to the permanent sound of recordings. And that's exactly what we're into. At that point, for instance, I was at the American Shakespeare Association meeting in Toronto about a month ago. And everybody of the 1,000 people members at that conference, they were focused on the text, not upon the sound or the rhythm of what's happened in that play. And so basically I then got into the discography of Shakespeare's works. And I wanted to get other people interested in what is the sound, not the purpose, but the sound of Shakespeare's works. And along that way, I came across Gielgud. He's in a wide variety of these things. And then I found that I could not, it was recognized. I could not find works that identify it. And basically, that's what we're gonna start on that. Here's the quickie, if you will. Here's a good, if you get your pen ready. John Gielgud was born in 1904. He dies in 2000. That's the life of John Gielgud. And here is this youthful person. And if I'm going to push the button right, which one? Get my finger right.
Yeah, let me clear that real quick. It's this one right here.
All right. And then we go into when he got on the stage in his 20s. And then he went on to the late of age like this. However, you go to his biographies. This is one of his early biographies, written around 40. And there at the end of it, there is a list of every play on the stage. And if I'm going to go back, you know, there it is. There is his appearance on the stage. All right, no, you have to teach me again. I keep pushing these buttons and nothing happens.
It's the arrow pointing to the
right. Right here? No, right here.
To the right, yeah, that one.
Let's go back this way. Mm-hmm. All right. And that ends it right there. It goes into television. But there is not a single mention of the recordings of John Gielgud. Here is a second biography of John Gielgud. And it starts off at the end of it, has every performance on the stage. It goes on to television. And it ends there, and there is not a single mention of the recordings of John Gielgud. However, early on, when I got started, Brian Rust was a good starter for me. His great aunt of John Gielgud is Ellen Terry. And so Ellen Terry is in that entertainer's discography. You see Ellen Terry there? I can't see it from this angle. Or Barrymore there. Barrymore is there. But let us go on into the G's, and it skips right past his name. Gielgud is not even mentioned in Brian Rust's discography. All right, if you get your pen ready, will you guess the first recording of John Gielgud? Are you going to guess yet?
Year?
Sir, will you get something before 50 or after 50? Anything before 50? No, the date. Anything before 50? Brian Rust, say it again.
1935.
Okay, anybody closer to that? After or earlier? All right, here it is. Let's see. Let's go back. There it is. His name in bright letters with Linguaphone, it came out in 1931. That's a decade before Brian Rust's discography ending. And his name is on the label of the album. There are five records in there, and his name is phi is on that, on the label of each record. But it doesn't stop there. Following that is Columbia Masterworks and the Voice of Poetry. And it says, again, John Gielgud is right there. That's in what is that, 38? And you see his name very clearly right there on the label, that he was there. But that doesn't satisfy Columbia. Columbia came out with a second one. Now, they have the same title of the Voice of Poetry, Volume 2. But the question is, why does he have two volumes, two editions of this, with the same title, the same term, Volume 2? And what we have found in the first volume, it has two sonnets of Shakespeare on the same record. And on the second edition, it has the same two sonnets from Shakespeare on separate records. And that's why we get these separate editions of this. But these are three very clear publications before Rust, a discography, came out. But then after that, oh, keep going backwards. We then went on to a play with Decca, the importance of being earnest. And again, his label is very clear, and on the album of this. And then we get the unrelated things. He had enough fame, enough importance. He was put on this album of the Master's Voice. And again, you see his name is very clearly John Gielgud, reciting just a passage from a passage of Shakespeare, Richard II, and King John. And then about the same time, we have in America the Album of Stars. And there is the list of the of those, but then you see near the bottom, John Gielgud. Are you ready to guess how many recordings he comes out with in his life? Okay, I push.
Sideways here.
Okay.
And I'll move that out of your way, and it's this arrow right there.
Yep.
Okay.
And again, you see his name is very bright on that label. And then about the same period, we came Ladies Not for Burning, a play by Christopher Fry. But again, John Gielgud's name is very bright on that label, in that Decca. And again, he did that with Pamela Brown, and his name is on each label of the record. He then went on to Richard III, and again, his name is right at the top of that album. And you can see it on his name of each record. He then went on to into Decca. And what that is made up of little scenes of Romeo and Juliet, soliloquies of Hamlet, and five sonnets. And his name goes right with the album. We then went on with MGM, with Julius Caesar. And here's John Gielgud in the top right corner. And his voice is on that record. And again, you can see his name list of the actors on each album, of each record. About the same time, he was made Sir John, and Angel brought out the importance of being earnest in another recording. And again, you find his name on each record. Decca had a subordinate company with Parnassus, and that combination of Decca and Parnassus brought out William Shakespeare, immortal scenes and sonnets. And you go to that, and you can see, again, John Gielgud's name with each record. We then went on to the Old Vic Company, and Gielgud's name is very, very clear on that. And inside, there is a booklet explaining more about it. And we get another one with his master's voice. And Gielgud is again, his name is there. And you can, it's unclear with this scene, but it's right there on his label of the record. Shakespeare at Stratford, a group of people for 2 years did little scenes out of Shakespeare. And on the right column, near the bottom, you see again John Gielgud. And that's a 61 recording. About the same time, the American Shakespeare Association started putting out the entire body of Shakespeare's works, selecting out the major actors performing in each of those. And in one of those with an SRS set of the body of Shakespeare's works. King Richard II is one of them, and John Gielgud is at the top. And again, his name is right there on the label. MGM went back to Julius Caesar, and his name again goes right with the label of the album, and his name is on the label of each record. Gielgud then went on to giving presentations, just an actor alone on the stage doing little passages of significant subjects. And in the world of Shakespeare, we have scenes from Much Ado About Nothing, Hamlet, Richard III, As You Like It, Romeo and Juliet, Othello, played by the group. Then we went on to Hamlet with John Gielgud, not as an actor, but as the director. And you see it with the Columbia record. He's not a performer. He is just the director of that whole performance. And with another company, brought out another Hamlet. And his name is on that album. Shakespeare Recording Society went on to add another play that involved Gielgud with Henry V. And then he got into the role of giving the homage to Shakespeare. There's a whole batch of performers doing homage to Shakespeare. There's a whole list of those, and Gielgud is included with all the others. He then went on to, with age, he worked with Irene Wirth putting on a program. It's a present for a poet, Edith Sitwell. And their program is made up entirely of poems by this woman. But John Gielgud is right there on the name of that recording. He then went on to put a television program on with another well-known actor. John Gielgud was the ghost, and you see him on the back screen. Then went on to Master's Work, Master's Voice, doing another Richard III. And another there. Brunswick then came on with putting on a whole batch of Shakespeare work with Hamlet and five sonnets and a scene from Romeo and Juliet. You saw earlier they did the same thing, but Brunswick came out with this, and it goes right with Gielgud's name. And you see it right at the bottom of the label. He then went on to The Ages of Man, reading from Shakespeare. And that's when he goes around from country to country, giving his presentations, his alone person on the stage, with Cadman. Another one, MCA went back to classics, and for this famous film of Julius Caesar, but John Gielgud is on the label of that. We then moved on to the CDs, on the CDs, with MCA Records. And John Gielgud's on that name with the label. And Argo reached back of history with Peggy Ashcroft and John Gielgud. And they did scenes from in the earlier look on him. But his name also appears on the album. Later on, he came to One Man in His Time and another recording. And it's called A Classics. And let me just add, we can add a variety of things. Among other things, let's see. In 65, a poet, a French poet, came out with Gaspard de la Nuit, and a young lady thought it was interesting, and a composer thought it was interesting and would combine the music with the poems. And this young woman wanted to record her playing the piano and wanted John Gielgud recite pieces of poems. Well, he wasn't certain, so he wanted to see a copy of the English translation, and he objected to that translation and wanted turned over to Christopher Fry to improve that translation. And so Christopher Fry did it, but that was put out with Mercury in 1965. If I'm going to go back, there is a famous English composer, Vaughan Williams. Vaughan Williams liked to do choral. His favorite was choral music. And there was a piece of event for the explorers for the Antarctic. And Vaughan Williams put out the Sinfonia Antarctica in London in 1954. But John Gielgud was employed to recite portions of it. That started back in 1954 with the London Company. In 66, the company called Ace of Clubs put out the same recording, and it also included the name John Gielgud. In 1970, Decca brought out the same identical one with John Gielgud's name on it. And in 2009, it was brought out again, and John Gielgud's name is on it. About the same time, Vaughan Williams, with his choral work, has impact, but John Gielgud was employed to do two other recitations on those. One is the song of Thanksgiving, and he is on there. And you can see it with that list of names as John Gielgud, or Sir John Gielgud is the name there. And the other one is the Pilgrim's Progress, and John Gielgud is the leading reciter of one of the roles in Bunyan's sequence. But those recordings for John Gielgud goes back to 1931, and it comes out to 9 or 10 years after his death. And I thought about these. And let me say, my secretary and I have put together this, but we're not even sure this is complete. I put a second sheet in because I'd left out in the early version of it with the Gaspard de la Nuit. And so I've added, that's the replacement of the third page. So along the way, if you want to give me any additions or corrections and dates, I'll welcome more information on this. Yes. Say this again. Peter, yes, Peter and the Wolf is also. It's not included in this list here. Yeah. 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 But his body of material that has been ignored by the two biographies, ignored by the discographies of Brian Rust. You and I, we've gone on the age of Wikipedia. There is not a single mention of the recordings of John Gielgud, but if you go to the Wikipedia for John Gielgud, you can see again the list of his stage performance, his television performance, his radio performance. There is not a single mention of the recordings. And this is the first discography of John Gielgud. Mm.
About 5 minutes for questions, if anybody has any questions.
Go for yes. It.
Are you familiar with the recording where Gielgud did the narration for Robert Schumann's Manfred that Thomas Beecham conducted in 1953?
Will you write it? I miss on things like this. Thank you. Let me just add, there's a little piece I could have added to this. There is a recording that is called The Hypocrite. Here it is. Sir John's Barry, The Happy Hypocrite, starring John Gielgud. I have this recording. It has a variety of problems with the label, with the album label. First, the name John Barrymore. It's misspelled. That's one thing. Number two, The Happy Hypocrite. Let me say, Sir John Barrymore did not write The Happy Hypocrite. The Happy Hypocrite was a story. It's not for the stage. But that story, The Happy Hypocrite, was written by Max Baerbohm in 1842. That was taken on to the radio program, but with this album, it doesn't tell who did it for the radio program. It's not the original story. And at that point, he says, starring John Gielgud, but at that point, he was Sir John Gielgud. That was approach of an accent of an insult to him. But this recording company, I became interested about what company put that on. And I could not find any company in America put it on. That name was taken over. It was under the name the American Society of Recorded Drama. And I could not find in America the American Society of Recorded Drama. And we have that same name, but that came up in 2007. This came out decades before that. And so we don't know what company did it or produced this. Okay.
Okay.
More?
I think we're out of time for this one.
Yep.
But thank you very much, Dr. O'Brien. I think we all look forward to seeing the finished discography as you get all the research done.
That's where I'm at.
Good point. Yeah, that's fine. You won't be in my way.